Cannon there. It's a lovely track. Obviously been given a bit of a new age treatment. That's to introduce an interview Kirsty Bedford did. She spoke today to one of the country's most respected food and cooking personalities, Lindy Milan, about the phenomenal growth in food and wine tourism and where you can find the best culinary travel experiences.
According to the 2016 Food Travel Monitor, 95% of American travellers are interested in some kind of unique food experience when they travel. And in Australasia, it's not much different, with research showing food and wine is one of the biggest influences on choice of destination. While interest in food and wine tourism isn't new, it's now spanning across the generations, and the way people want to experience it are changing. Joining us this afternoon to talk about where you can find the best culinary travel experiences is one of the most respected food and cooking personalities, television presenter and author, Lindy Milan. Good afternoon, Lindy.
Oh, good afternoon. It's great to be with you.
Thank you. Tell us a bit firstly about your background and how you came to working in the industry.
Oh, well, I was an art teacher, went to London, discovered the wonderful world of advertising, stayed there for 3 years, travelled around Europe, loved the sights and the sounds and the smells and the tastes. Came back, worked in advertising, gave up after the birth of my first child and started a catering business, first of all at my advertising agency. So that just grew like Topsy, and by about 1990 I was in the media.
So what are the changes that you've seen sort of since you started in the industry with the interest in food and particularly in food relating to travel?
Well, look, the thing is that there are two great desires that ensure the continuity of the human race, and one of them is eating, and you can do it anywhere. You can even do it with children in public. So it's always been an interest. And the other thing, too, is that Australians have always been great travellers, and increasingly so. And the whole point is that the minute you're away from home, you are dining out. Whether you're having takeaway or street food or eating in a hotel or eating in a restaurant, you are eating away from home. People are more and more interested in it, and I think in Australia as well, we are such a multicultural society that actually the food has led to an interest in tourism. So if you're eating Vietnamese food here, you want to find out about where it comes from. So I think it's a really, really important part of it. It's also about your well-being when you're away, and about really enjoying yourself and enjoying every aspect.
And are you finding that increasingly people are wanting to get a bit more interactive with their food and culinary travel experiences? I'm seeing that foraging tours are sort of increasingly coming on board and people actually wanting to get involved. So if you're actually doing the cooking, they want to be part of that with you?
Absolutely. But more than anything, they want authentic experiences. They don't want to go to a restaurant, for example, that I call Plastic Fantastic. The minute there are photos of the food outside the restaurant, for example, you know you don't want to do that. So what I like to do with my people is go off the beaten track. Try and find out where the locals in the know go, or, you know, do those things, as you say, with a walking tour that might be food-focused instead of just doing the usual tourist thing.
So what are some of the best places you think to do those sorts of things in the world? I mean, obviously, there will be a lot of them, but what are maybe your top few?
Oh, well, look, Italy has to be there, has to be up there. I hosted a cruise and a tour 2 years ago, and we ended up in Tuscany for 4 days, having started in Rome, and that was absolutely extraordinary. And then last year, we started in Venice and ended up in Como. There are so many places, and I think the thing is with Italy, food is just so important. It's such a central part of life. You know, Greece is interesting as well. I've filmed in Greece, and you know, I love that because Greece is still relatively unspoiled, or certainly the Peloponnese, which is where I did my TV series. You know, you can actually go to these ancient sites, and you're not fenced off, and you can actually eat the authentic local cuisine. I have to say I'm pretty excited. I'm going to Spain this year, and I think Spain's got a lot to offer. But I think what's most interesting is anywhere that's got a centuries-old food culture as well. Singapore, I was in Singapore a month ago. Singapore's amazing too.
So what are some of the specific foods that you think, you know, make? Because obviously in places like Italy, it's all down to simplicity. And is that getting back to that sort of authenticity as well, the simplicity of the food?
Look, it is. And I know we all pay lip service to the fact that we eat things in season and that are locally produced. But I even find for myself, after I've been to Italy, I come back and think to myself, oh, my food is a bit tricked up. Because it is really, really simple. I remember being in Montepulciano and just having zucchini carpaccio. So thinly sliced zucchini, beautifully placed around the plate in a big circle, just with a drizzle of extra virgin olive oil. And I just thought, why don't I do this, you know, at home? It is so extraordinary. And then they don't overload things like pasta or pizza with far too many ingredients. So I'm going to do a trip to Puglia in 2018. Now, that is the home of orecchiette, now, which is a little ear pasta, because that's what it looks like. Now, you just have that with broccoli rabe, or here you could, if you want to make it yourself, you could use broccolini, you know, and some Parmesan cheese. So it really is about simplicity and about the produce. So, and I think that's what, I think we get too tricked up sometimes. And I think often watching these TV shows where people, amateurs, cook extraordinary things can really alienate us and make us think we do have to do really tricky things. But actually we don't.
No, it comes back to the quality, doesn't it, of the ingredients in the first place. And then that in itself creates such a beautiful dish.
So yeah, and it's the freshness and the seasonality as well. You know, that's our zucchini at carpaccio worked perfectly because the zucchini had just been picked, and it was amazing.
So tell us a bit about these trips that you've got planned and what sort of things you'll be doing on them.
Well, look, first up, it seems to be the way my career's gone. I am going to be an enrichment speaker on a Silver Seas cruise sailing out of Lisbon and into Venice. But my big cruise this year, we are going to start in Barcelona for 3 days. So 3 days in Barcelona, then on board the Celebrity Constellation, and making day trips, you know, when shore trips to Alicante, Seville, Gibraltar, Montpellier in France, Aix-en-Provence, Florence, Corsica, and then finishing up in Rome for a few days. So what I do is I find out where we should go off the beaten track. Where do the locals in the know eat? Where do the locals in the know shop? And that's what we do on in our land content. And then on board ship, I eat with everybody every night, and then I host a few events, like I'll do a talk and I'll also do some cooking classes.
I'm salivating listening to it. So, I mean, where is there to go from here? How do you think this will evolve and what will the future hold?
Well, look, that's my big cruise for this year, but I'm actually going to Puglia next year in 2018, and that's land content only. Now, Puglia is it's in the heel of Italy. It's so undiscovered. Once again, it's really unspoiled. They have amazing architecture, truly, the whitewashed truly with the conical roofs. They've got 60 million olive trees there. The wine's up and coming. They've got UNESCO sites. And the food there is really extraordinary. You know, I went to a restaurant, it was just all about meat, and it was like a butcher's shop. So you go in and you choose from the counter what you want to eat, and then they go and cook it. And another night we went to something that was all vegetarian, and then you go and actually make bread, and the yeast for the bread comes from the university, and only six places are licensed to do it. You know, go and learn how to make burrata, you know, the cheese. So look, that's fantastic. I mean, for me, you know, I'm now talking to someone about maybe going to China this September. I'm going to be on the India Pacific from Perth to Adelaide in June. So I just find it really exciting. And for me, I guess after so many years in the media and knowing so much about international food and global food, it's a really lovely evolution of my career, and I'm a people person, so I'm absolutely thrilled to have the opportunity to get other people as excited in these destinations as I am.
It certainly sounds like the opportunities are there, and it's all about the process as much of as the actual food itself. So that's all sounds really exciting. Good luck with that, and we look forward to hearing from you again soon.
Thanks very much.
Thanks, Lindy.